For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 2. Micah chapter 2. And there we read God's holy word: "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord: Behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. In that day shall one take up a parable against you, a lament with a doleful lamentation, and say, We be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore, thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, in the spirit of the Lord, is the spirit of the Lord strengthened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. He pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely, as men averse from war. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate, and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them." So far the reading of the word of God. The text of the sermon is found in the portion we read, Micah 2, verses 12 and 13. The verses 12 and 13, where we read the text of the sermon, God's holy word: "I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them." Beloved congregation, in the light of the upcoming commemoration of Jesus' birth, I wish to study the prophecy of one of the minor prophets called Micah. Micah, meaning "who is like God." It's a beautiful name which expresses God's power, majesty, and sovereignty. What or who can be compared with God? Nothing. And no one. He is our Creator, And we owe him all honor and praise. Micah comes from a farming village located 35 kilometers to the southwest of Jerusalem. Micah was eyewitness of the destruction of Samaria by the Assyrians around 722 before Christ, as well as the mass deportation of Israel. He lived in the same time period as Hosea and Isaiah. Micah's preaching bore fruit. In Jeremiah 26, verse 19, we understand that Hezekiah has listened to his admonition to hold on to the Lord and to pursue a reformation in Judah. Even a century later, after his preaching, Micah is still known as the true prophet who preached the word of God. And yet, at the time he preached, he did not see much fruit on his labors. Most of the people hardened their hearts. Micah's prophecy contains a serious message. His prophecy is a perfect example of a prophetic judgment. A prophetic judgment. He exposes the people's immorality and mischief and judges them in the name of the Lord. And most of times, this is introduced with the words, "Thus saith the Lord." Chapter 1 is about God's forthcoming judgment. And in chapter 2, this announcement is intensified. Verse 1 starts with a woe to the people who are already judged in chapter 1. They are already sentenced to death. They are still alive, though they dwell in the atmosphere of death and destruction. A woe is in fact a lament of someone's death. Woe, my brother. Woe, my sister. And to these spiritually dead people, the prophet is preaching. Though they deserve condemnation, the prophet still speaks of the deliverance of a remnant. How can a remnant be delivered? By the intervention of a breaker. That's an Advent message. The breaker is coming. The theme of the sermon is the coming of the breaker. He gathers the remnants. He issues forth his power. And he leads them home. The coming of the breaker. He gathers the remnants. He issues forth his power. He leads them home. At the time the prophet preached to the people, he announced death to Samaria, the capital of the 10 tribes. And he also sees evil coming to the gates of Jerusalem, the capital of Judah. Why is judgment coming over Israel and Judah? Well, because their sins are too grievous. And the iniquity of the people is too great. The prophet proclaims God's indictment to a guilty people. In the portion we are studying, their sins are exposed. The prophet points to their devious mischief. We can read of them in the first verses. What do they do? Well, they lay in bed thinking of what evil they can commit next. What evil? How to get rich quickly. They come up with a plan, and the next morning they wake up early, they leave home and carry out their plan. They go to the weak and vulnerable people and demand their fields and houses. They take them with brutal violence, like Ahab took the vineyards from his neighbor Naboth. They make themselves real estate magnates. They do not spare anyone, and they abuse their power. They don't have any empathy with the poor and lonely people. They claim someone else's inheritance. These people are proud of their sabotage. And the Lord says, you are so proud of your trickery. You are devising evil. But I do devise an evil as well. Yet, there is a difference between them and God. God's devise will remove all the evil of the hardy and proud ones. The text passage emphasizes the words, this family. This expresses contempt. They despise the poor and weak people, but God will despise the rich. And God puts them under a yoke which they cannot remove. This will be an evil time, a time of devastation. The people will be led into exile. The conqueror will lead them into a foreign country together with the defenseless people. God will make them complain like the poor farmers did when they were suppressed by the rich. It will become a parable, a proverb, when they will say, we are utterly destroyed. We large landowners, we real estate magnates. He has taken our portion, the portion of my people. They reason as if it was all their possession. And yet they had stolen it. It was not theirs. And the Lord, as it were, says to them, you take someone else's portion, but I will take it from you. And the Lord will visit his people with judgment. He will lead them into exile, but he will also give deliverance. In verse 5, we can see some light of hope dawning. The Lord will lead them back to the promised land. He will cast a cord by lot. That means that the Lord will divide the land under the returned exiles like he did when the people of Israel first entered the promised land. And he will use a cord to measure the land. And yet, he will not measure land for the condemned. They will not inherit anything. Idolaters. And whosoever loves and makes a lie will receive no inheritance. They will miss the inheritance. No, the inheritance will only be for the remnants. And maybe you think, this is so far removed from us. Does it really? Where does all evil come from? Not from outside man, but from inside. And this is also displayed this morning in baptism. It shows our pollution, our wicked and depraved heart, even so in Easton's heart. Our heart is a source of all evil. And what do we dream of? Many sins are committed secretly, behind the scenes. We so easily live in two worlds. No one knows. And you deceive yourself by reasoning that you are not so deceitful as many others. Our heart is so wicked. We even believe our own lies. But God exposes our misery. You are a liar. You deceive others and yourself, and you live as if you don't have to give an account to God. God exposes your sins. Do you submit? It's a blessing when you run stuck with your selfishness, with your evil inclinations. When you discover that you cannot stand before your Maker and live. You begin to loathe yourself when the Lord opens your eyes for the deceitfulness of your own heart. And you become a sinner before God, who has no rights at all. One who can offer nothing but deceitfulness. The sins you see all around you are a mirror of your own heart. Do you agree with God's judgment? His sentence is just. Do you confess, who is like God? What is the people's response to Micah's preaching? Do they listen? Do they repent? Well, we know the history of Israel. They did not. Initially, Micah does not see fruit on his preaching. Listen to what they say. Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. They are Micah's opponents. His greedy countrymen whose sins he exposed. Micah may prophesy, but they will do their own thing. What do they preach? Micah, keep your mouth shut. Don't prophesy like this. Don't come with God's judgment. Don't preach sin. And if you continue, we will not listen anyway. Let them prophesy instead that don't preach God's judgment. And then we come to verse 7, which is difficult to translate. As you can see, the words, O thou that art, are inserted by the translators to make the text readable. We can also read verse 7 as a continued response of Micah's opponents. They use a rhetorical question. Is the house of Israel cursed? Is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Is the power of God shortened? Come on now, Micah. We know that the Lord is faithful to His people. Aren't we serving the Lord? Aren't we God's chosen ones? Micah's opponents are offended by his sharp preaching. They don't want to hear about their depraved actions. And then the Lord speaks a word. The last line of verse 7. Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? In other words, my word is good and lovely, but the reason that I have to pronounce judgment is because you don't walk in uprightness. You don't obey my commandments. You live without me. You want to hear only comforting words. You want to be built up in your religion. That is man-made religion. And yet, you must know there is no real comforting message without repentance. The comforting gospel comes to those who are of a broken heart and contrite spirit. And all that you seek to do is to look decent. You are satisfied with a mere outward religion instead of living as a holy nation, separated from the world. You live like the heathens. But your ungodly lifestyle is not only destructive to yourself, you also oppress those who want to listen to true prophecy and who want to live in the fear of the Lord. This is actually stated in verse 8. I paraphrase, lately you have acted as an enemy to me and my people. And in verse 10, the Lord announces to the people that He promised rest and peace, that the promised rest and peace is over. This land shall destroy you. It shall destruct you, since my judgment will come to pass. But the people do not bend their knees in humility, acknowledging their foolishness and their mischief. No, they remain impenitent. They don't like Micah's harsh preaching, so that Micah closes this part of his prophecy using irony. In verse 11, he says, as it were, do you know what kind of prophets you accept? Those who lie. And who say to you, I will prophesy about wine and liquor. Micah says, they don't have the spirit, but the prophecy is as you desire. You want joy and pleasure in this lifetime? together with the promise of eternal bliss. And you can imagine that such prophets were popular among the people, as in our days, preachers who speak sweet and smooth words, who speak of peace without repentance. Micah says, they are liars. They are not prophets according to Deuteronomy 18, verse 22. What does this text say about prophets? Well, that you can discern true prophets from false by the outcome of the prophecies. Their words will not come to pass. You will notice that what true prophets preach will come to pass. Maybe you counter, but that is what you can only conclude afterwards, not beforehand. You're right. And yet pay attention to what is written in Scripture about true prophets and their message. It was not a pleasing message for the people. It was contrary to their opinions and desires. However, we know that their prophecy proved to be true. So don't wave off serious warnings which come to you in the preaching. Afterwards, it will turn out to be the truth. When you don't repent in this lifetime, it will be too late. So listen carefully, especially if you hear things which you don't want to hear at all, since they are irritating you, because you want to stay in the driver's seat, because you don't want to give up your sinful desires, because you don't want to be exposed to your true nature. God's truth is contrary to our natural desires. What do? When the preaching uncovers your guilt before God? What do? When you go home and you don't feel encouraged by the preaching? Let us first of all seek the Lord privately and pray the Lord to make us honest before Him. Lord, search me. When God points with His finger to your sin and says, "Thou art the man," He doesn't do this to condemn you, but to deliver you. True preaching uncovers and exposes your sin so that you will need the mercy of God. What does God's mercy mean if you don't experience anything of your guilt before God? What does forgiveness of sin merited by the Lord Jesus Christ mean if you don't sense the seriousness of sinning against a holy and good-doing God? There is no true comfort as long as your eyes are closed to the dark background of your existence. A trait of true prophets is that they preach about hope, since the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that He turns from his wicked way and lives. This will become such a miracle for you when you experience something of the Lord's intervention in your life. Our text says that there will always be a remnant according to God's election. Verse 12, "I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel." A strong expression is used here. God will definitely save the remnant. His contemporary, the prophet Isaiah, calls God's people so often a remnant. Who are they? They are no better. They have not merited anything. They are a remnant because the Lord wants them to be. This is about God's eternal love for poor and needy sinners. The preaching of Micah will have effect on some. Sadly, the majority will not listen and bow under God's judgment. Yet a minority will. And being in exile, they will call upon the name of the Lord, and they will realize the seriousness of their state and the need for God's gracious intervention. They are compared with sheep gathered as a flock inside a fence. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. They are like the sheep of Bozrah. Bozrah was known for its vast fields with many sheep in Edom. The prophecy almost seems to contradict itself. On the one hand, only a minority will be saved by the Lord. On the other hand, this remnant will be a gathering that cannot be counted. And then the prophet pictures a sheepfold. They all are fenced. They are all fenced in, and because of the multitude, they shall make a great voice. You must understand that the picture of fenced in sheep is about the remnant of Judah. The people are in desperate need since they are in exile. They can no longer serve the Lord in the promised land. They miss His friendly countenance. They miss God, and therefore they are grieving people. They have hung their harps upon the willows, as Psalm 137 says. And yet the remnant will throb with people. That is a picture of God's church. It will be a remnant which will multiply and grow into a multitude of people. It will present all of Jacob. That is what Micah sees in the prophecy. Those who seek the Lord will be oppressed. No, they have no innate rights, and either they have forfeited all. They are imprisoned by their own sin and guilt, and yet who gathers them together? Who makes them to form a remnant? It is He who will reveal Himself to be the breaker. They need a breaker since they don't know a way of escape. They are fenced in exile. They are oppressed. The Savior who will deliver His people will be called the breaker. And so we have come to our second thought, namely that the coming breaker issues forth His power. What does the breaker do? Well, He breaks things. Just picture people who are fenced like sheep. They can move neither forward nor backward. There is no escape. And that is what they feel spiritually. Where to go then? They are boxed in. And yet the breaker comes and makes a hole in the wall. He breaks the wall of exile into pieces. The prison of Jacob is enclosed. The blocked way is opened. There is a gate through which they can escape. And this has happened. Judah returns to the promised land under the government of Kores. God visits His remnant with His salvation. The Lord will make a breach in the defenses of their captors and lead His flock back from the land where they had almost disappeared. God will graciously deliver His chosen remnant. This prophecy also contains another aspect. The prophecy has more levels of fulfillment. The promise is ultimately fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is also the breaker. Only because of His coming, Judah could be delivered from their captivity. And it is only because of Him that even today a sinner can be delivered from his or her captivity. Do you notice the miracle of grace? The prophecy of Micah does not only include judgment, but also a promise of salvation. God will not utterly destroy Judah, but He will save a remnant. A new era, a new age will commence. And Micah gets a sight of God's mercy. In spite of all what the people are, the Lord will grant salvation. The Lord will save the remnant from their misery. They will be purified and cleansed so that they will enjoy God and His salvation. The Lord draws all attention to Himself when He promises salvation. He says, I will surely assemble. I will surely gather. I will put them together, and the breaker is come up before them. It's a powerful promise whose fulfillment will not fail. And the history of Israel shows this. The Lord has revealed this, especially in the sending of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great breaker. The word for breaker can also be understood as a bellwether. That is a male sheep that leads the flock, usually bearing a bell. And wherever he goes, the flock will follow him, listening to the bell that tinkles. And there is something special to this picture used here. The breaker, the bellwether, does not come from the outside, of course, but he's one with the flock. As the first one, he goes through the gate, and the rest will follow him. He makes a breach in the fence from the inside. And this reveals something of the mysteries of the gospel. This is a picture of the promised Messiah who will deliver His people from sin and guilt, who will deliver them from the claws of the devil. Where does He come from? Children, where does the promised Messiah come from? He comes from heaven. The Messiah is the Son of God who is sent into this world. The mystery of the gospel is that He condescended to the earth and became one with His people. This means that He adopted our nature. He became real man. And this is the meaning of the breaker, the bellwether. The Lord Jesus delivers His people from the inside. He became real man. Since God's justice demands that man must pay the penalty for sin, He humbled Himself and took on human flesh. No, not sinful flesh, but corruptible flesh. He became our bellwether and broke the bonds of death. He conquered Satan and sin. He descended even to hell to open a breach in death, so that all His followers will escape eternal death. He is the breaker who paid the penalty for His people. He also rose from the dead. Death could not hold Him, since He is the breaker. He also ascended into heaven. He paved the path of eternal life for His people. And He is still the great high priest who prays for His church day and night. He still is the breaker who delivers His people from the bonds of slavery and sin. He is the head of His church. He turns His people out of prison. He goes first. Christ is the breaker who makes a path for His people. This was the hope for the believing Israelites who were in spiritual darkness. When the Lord Jesus came into this world, there was a remnant looking forward to the coming Messiah who would break the power of sin and death. Like Isaiah prophesied in chapter 9, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Micah points to the darkness in which the people of Judah dwelt. He speaks about judgment. However, through the judgment, we see a ray of light. Those who are in the depth of their misery and don't know a way out, it is told. The breaker will come. He will redeem you from your exile and bring you into a reconciled relationship with God again. Is there someone among us who is in need of this word? You must agree with the Lord's sentence of condemnation. You must confess, this is about me. I am born. I continue to live in darkness. I need to be born again. I need to be born from above. How will I ever repent? How will I ever believe? And maybe you as parents wonder, how will Easton ever receive a new heart? You only meet with impossibilities. You notice only walls around you which speak of your hopelessness. Well, this is the gospel. The breaker has come. Straight through our impossibilities, He made a breach by condescending into our misery. He condescended to the deepest pit to save even the chief of sinners. And maybe you feel you are captured by many bonds. Bonds of sin. Bonds of addiction. Bonds of a double life. Bonds of hideous evil. You feel ashamed. You don't know what to do. He is the breaker who breaks every bond. His name expresses what He does. To this task, He is anointed by the Father. Christ is the breaker. When the Lord Jesus came into this world, He knew that He would only meet with resistance. Everyone and everything was against Him. And yet, because of all this resistance, He is the breaker. Your resistance that he meets will precisely prove why you need a breaker. He breaks the power of our inability to obey the Lord. He breaks our unwillingness to serve the Lord. He does what no man is able to do. Who is like God? He sacrificed His life as the glorious breaker. And that is what He does by word and spirit. By His word, He breaks hardened hearts. His word is like a hammer, says Jeremiah, in the hands of the breaker. It smashes the rock in pieces. Nothing can withstand this breaker. He is a breaker for a sinful people who have nothing to offer but sin and guilt. He did not need to become a breaker for Himself. He became a breaker for guilty people, for powerless people, for unsuitable people. Do you know of this miracle of grace? He is the breaker who comes unasked and who points to Himself. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I break all resistance. I break every evil. I break your foes. As the bellwether, He goes first, and all His own will follow. And in the second half of verse 13, the picture takes a twist. From a breaker, a bellwether, arises the picture of a shepherd, when Micah says, "And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them." Who goes before the flock? The breaker appears to be the king.
He is at hand. It is the Lord. Does the Lord Jesus not reveal Himself as the great shepherd for His sheep? He is the Shepherd King.
And so we will listen to our third point. He will lead them home. In the Old Testament, this picture is used by the Lord to reveal Himself as the deliverer of His people. Think of Psalm 80. O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. The Lord God is the shepherd of His flock, who has brought Israel into the promised land. And the miracle of grace is that He remains the shepherd of His people, though He must chastise His flock very often. And yet the Lord will seek His lost sheep. We read the promise in Ezekiel 34:12, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And then in verse 15, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. This picture we find in the Gospels as well, at the fulfillment of the prophet's word. As the fulfillment of the prophet's word, we hear the Lord Jesus saying in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And this displays the Lord's faithfulness and compassion to His sheep. He cares for His flock with full dedication. He knows every sheep of His flock by name. And as a shepherd is focused on the well-being of his flock, as a king on safety of his nation, so the Lord Jesus cares for his own. What king, what kind of king is he? He is a king who has given his life for a ransom for many. He was mocked and spit on when he bore his soldier's garment, which was put on his shoulder to mock him. Behold thy king. The breaker was captured and scourged. He was led to the hill outside of Jerusalem. The breaker was crucified. He kept the law of God, that on the cross he might be broken for our brokenness and cursed for our iniquities. He was broken because of our broken relationship with God. The breaker was broken to heal brokenhearted and contrite spirits. Do you notice him under the preaching of the gospel? He goes first as the head of his people. And they hear his voice under the preaching of the gospel and follow him. Do you hear his voice? He calls you when you have gone astray. He breaks the bonds of unbelief and makes room for himself. He goes before you, showing you his power, his goodness, faithfulness, and wisdom. Children, the Lord calls you. He has promised you, I will be your shepherd. I will be your king. I will be your breaker. Do you want to serve him? He is able and willing to make you listen to him. And even for the little ones, there is a shepherd who gathers the lambs with his arms and carries them in his bosom because of his powerful work of regeneration. Who is like God? Without knowing him as your breaker, You cannot stand before God and live. Micah prophesied of judgment and hope. Yet, there is no hope if we don't bow under God's judgment. The final day of judgment is coming. This is also Advent. If you don't know Him as your Savior, as your King, as your Breaker, then you will meet Him as your Judge. Then you will acknowledge. But then it's too late. Who is like God? That will be an acknowledgement in fear and trembling. Blessed are you if you know Him as your Savior. Then you will acknowledge with reverence and awe, who is my God? You worship Him in wonderment. Who is like God who forgives sins, who renews lives, and who promises eternal life? Oh, seek Him before it is too late. He is able and willing to break all your impossibilities. He promises that all those who follow Him shall come home. He leads them to Jerusalem, which is above. He has opened the gate by His work as mediator. And He goes on as the head of His flock. He represents His flock. And He will lead them home. Home to the eternal glorification and enjoyment of the triune God. And then all that hinders you to serve Him in full will be broken. And nothing of brokenness will be remembered, since He will be all in all. He reveals Himself as the Breaker. Oh, will you not plead with Him? O gracious Breaker, Thou hast come to this broken world, and Thou shalt come again. Come also into my heart, and deliver me. Amen.